I am.
What it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Romans 12 and 2,
go with me there.
I'll be reading from the Message paraphrase.
I want to talk to you from the subject,
be mindful,
be mindful.
Last week, we talked from the subject of be thankful,
and I want to go right into it,
and I'm going to just kind of
tell you ahead of time,
this lesson really has a lot to do with
us learning how to
control our thoughts,
and to the degree that
we will really
learn how to
control our thoughts
will just really
mark how well
we do in life.
And so the writer says in
Romans 12 and 2,
fix your attention on who,
class?
On God.
Okay,
I know y'all
ate your Wheaties this morning, all
right? We're going to act like
I didn't do that. We're going to
start all over again.
So we're reading from
Romans 12 and 2.
We're in a series
called Be Mindful,
or a lesson
called Be Mindful,
and it has a lot to do with
controlling your
thoughts. And really,
to the degree if
you control your thoughts
well,
you'll live well.
So the Bible says,
fix your attention
on who, class?
On
God.
You'll be changed.
Watch this.
From the inside
out. And
it's real important to
understand
that God wants
to change us from
the inside out.
Sometimes when I
was a little boy, people would,
you know, get saved
and, you know, and
I'm not knocking this, but
just my experience that
we take them out, we put
them in a suit, and we
do all those things, and we
expect them to show back up,
you know, the next Sunday
all clean and all
shiny, but
they still had issues.
And sometimes
people wouldn't understand,
like, you know,
I looked at my feet
and they were new, and I
looked at my hands and they
were too. But everything
about God is a
process.
Things don't
happen overnight. They
happen over
time.
And so
God wants to change
you from the inside out.
He starts on the
inside. Why? He
wants to deal with my
heart. And then
as he begins to deal with
my heart, you
begin to see my
heart change by the
outward expression of
what I do from
what has already happened on
the inside. Does
that make sense?
He says,
readily recognize
what he
wants from you
and quickly
respond to it.
Unlike the
culture around you,
always
dragging you down
to his level
of immaturity. How
many know that's right?
It says,
God brings
the best out of
you, develops
well-informed
maturity
in you.
Everybody say,
be mindful.
All right?
So your life
is going to be
marked by how
well you control your
thoughts.
Your life
is going to be
marked by how
well you control
your thoughts.
You've got to
understand that you will
never change your
life
until you
change your way of
thinking. All right?
You'll never change
your life until
you change your way of
thinking. Sometimes
I talk to people
and, you know, they want to
change their life,
and I'll tell them this and I'll tell them that,
and they got to do that,
and they'll have an
excuse of why they
can't do that, or why
they, you know, and
it's like you'll never
change your life
until you
actually change your thinking.
Ecclesiastes,
the 10th chapter
and the 2nd verse
teaches us that
wise
thinking leads
to right, to
what?
Wise thinking leads to
right living.
Unwise
thinking
leads
to wrong living.
You said,
Pastor, that's not what it
said. I changed the word
because in our house
growing up,
with
Jay and Hannah, that was
a cuss word.
You got it.
So we didn't
let them use that word,
you know.
And so,
you know,
and Lady always
laughs at me
because she's like, that is
not a cuss word.
You know, there's a lot of words
that I think, like,
we should not say. You
understand what I'm saying?
And I'm like,
babe, don't say that.
We're pastors.
You understand what I'm saying?
We have to be
holy. You understand?
And so
the Bible says that
wise thinking
leads to right living,
but
unwise
thinking
leads
to wrong living.
All right?
So this is what I want to do.
This is a real
simple lesson,
and I want to give you
two components. The
first component
is I want to talk
to you as
it relates to
the theology
and the principles
behind thinking,
what the Bible teaches
us. And then
as we move
down, I'm going to
give you
the practices,
really
four ways to practice
good thinking. But the
first part,
let's talk about what the
Bible says,
and let's get the
theology and
the principles
that
we can really
understand. And there's three
principles
behind thinking.
They can put the
first one on the screen
that I want to
give to you.
I want to really
get you to understand.
Number one,
everything
begins with a
thought.
Everything
begins with
a thought.
That's why
the Bible says
that you have to
guard your heart
with all diligence,
for out of it flows
the issues of life.
That's why the
Bible says you have to
cast down every
imagination, every high
thing that exalts
itself against the name
and the knowledge of God.
Watch this, and
bring every thought
captive
to the obedience
of Christ. And
how many know
sometimes that can be a
full-time job?
Especially when you're
going through,
especially when things
aren't going right,
the enemy's
throwing all these
crazy thoughts
at you, and
you have to be careful
not to accept the
thoughts, right?
Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and custom of this world. You know, you got an issue going on in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or, you know, a family member, a brother and sister, just no matter what it is, and y'all are at odds, you know, and the enemy wants you to go off on them. The enemy wants you to fuss them out and maybe even cuss them out. You understand? How many know Christians are not supposed to cuss? Amen. All right. Didn't see any hands, but I know y'all believe that. All right. And so, but that's the way of the world. The world says, you get me, I'm going to get you back, but I'm going to get you back greater so I can show you you should have never messed with me in the beginning. You got it? So I know, don't act like you're like, oh, yes, praise the Lord. No. I know you saved and sanctified, but all of us have been down that road at some point, and if anybody ever touches your button the wrong way, it's still deep down on the inside, whether you know it or not. Can I get up? So the writer says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God do what, class? Transform you into a new person. Watch this. How? By changing the way you think. And so this is how I'm transformed into a new person, by God changing the way I think. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? With information, which is the word of God, and saturation to hear it over and over and over. It says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so you have to understand that everything, absolutely everything, begins with a thought. And so that is why I have to make sure that I'm guarding what is coming in. You got it? You know, because whatever is in you is going to come up out of you. Isn't that right? The writer says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I told you, you heard me tell this story before. Had just met a pastor, hadn't known him, but maybe a day or two. We were just at a conference. We happened to be leaving at the same time at the airport. He was going one way, I was going another. And then he had, they had delayed his flight, then they delayed it again, then they canceled it, and then he cussed. And I was like, whoa! And I think he was surprised, and I was like, whoa! You know? And he looked at me, and I was like, whoa! And so, because it shocked me, you got it? And I just thought, like, that would be natural to me, but that's not natural to me because, like, I don't cuss. Like, you understand? Like, when I tell y'all Christians should not cuss, I don't cuss. And Christians should don't drink, I don't drink. And Christians shouldn't smoke the herb, I don't smoke the herb. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so I'm not just saying these things, I don't do these things, right? So I was like, whoa, and, you know, and he's like, oh, my bad, it just slipped. I was like, no, doc, that was in you. And whatever is in you is going to come up out of you. And so that is why you have to control your thoughts. All right, everybody say number two. What we think determines how we feel. Whether you believe it or not, what you think determines how you feel. And sometimes you'll go through situations and you'll blame it on your boss, or you'll blame it on the teacher, or you'll blame it on the next door neighbor. You know, but those things aren't actually making you feel the way you feel. It's your response or your thinking toward those things that make you feel the way you feel. Does that make sense? And so that's why you have to really make sure that you control your thought life, and that you renew your mind and change your way of thinking. And so, because what happens is, you know, a thought can come to you and it not be your thought, and you have to cast it down. But let me help you. And don't get too quiet on me, but sometimes there's negative thoughts to come, and they're actually your thoughts, and you have to deal with those. You can't blame it on the devil. You can't blame it on anybody else. It's because there's something going on the inside of you. Does that make sense? You got it? You know, the doctor gives you a bad report, and the enemy says you're going to die. That's a thought from the enemy. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we know that. You got it? But, you know, you walk in to church, and you're so happy because you got a new dress. And then you walk in, and then the lady on the third aisle has the exact same new dress that you have on. You got it? And you go up to her and say, well, look at you looking so cute. You understand what I'm saying? Like Miss Benny said, look at you looking like you looking. But as you walk away, you got it. That sorry rascal got the same dress I got on. I knew I should have waited too. She don't even look as good as I look in that dress. That's not the devil's thought. That's your thought based on something that's on the inside of you. And that is why you have to learn to celebrate everybody, you got it, wherever they are. You understand? So, you know, and I've noticed, you know, and I don't want to get too far into this. We'll have a relationship series that'll be coming up soon. But I noticed there's a difference between men and between women. Like, women will not buy the same thing. You got it? Like, you know, but men, like, we will. You understand? Like, we'll buy the same thing and wear it on the same day. And we'll be like, oh, what's up? That's what I'm talking about. That's my boy right there. Yeah. You got it? And we will celebrate one another. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. All right. Philippians, the fourth chapter. I want to give you a challenge. I want to give you a challenge. For the next 3 days. For the next what?
3 days.
For the next 3 days. For the next 3 days, I want you, and this is not about fasting, okay? But I want you to go without some things to help your heart. Because sometimes you get on social media and it doesn't help your heart. Sometimes you watch the news and it doesn't help your heart. You got it. That's just you know, when you sometimes you listen to some of that secular music, it don't help your heart. You got it. And so for the next 3 days, I want you to go without as much media as possible. All right? Just 3 days. Just 3 days. You can finish it up on Sunday. So get everything you can in today. All right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What did I say? Right, just in time to get back on Thursday for Faith Connections at 8 p.m. with Pastor James. You like how I kind of threw that in there? All right. So for the next 3 days, and we need to remind each other. I'm going to have to, like, set an alarm, because let's just be honest. What's one of the first things we do when we get up? We grab our phone. That's just the truth. That's what we do. Most of us do. You got it? Our phone has everything on it, has our email on it, has our notes. My calendar is on my phone. You understand what I'm saying? But also my Instagram is on my phone. My Twitter is on my phone, even though I don't use Twitter. My Facebook is on my phone. You understand? And so I want to challenge you, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, no Facebook, no Instagram, no social media, so no social media. And all the brothers said, amen. All right. Because she just won't get off that, Pastor. I know it's going to be all right, brother. It's going to be all right. All right. For all my teens, all my kids, no video games. And all the parents said,
amen.
I got a strong amen on that one. All right. No secular music.
Amen.
And everybody said,
amen.
All right. Some, can I be honest with you? Some music you just don't need to listen to, period. You got it? Like, I don't really know what's out there, I'm not going to get all up into that, but I know as a kid coming up in high school, I heard a lot of stuff, and it was real degrading toward women, and, you know, how many of women ain't hoes? I should have got a better amen than that. You got it? How many know that we treat everybody with respect? Right? How many know that we walk in integrity and we do the right thing? And some of that music is not teaching us those principles, and that's why you can't let your children hear it, because whatever you hear over and over and over and over is what shapes you. And I know you love them, and you want to be their best friend, and, you know, you want them to be happy and not mad at you, so you just let them do it, it's going to be okay, but you've got to understand that stuff shapes you. Does that make sense? All right? And so I want you to, for the next 3 days, Philippians 4 and 8, this is what I want you to do. I want you to replace it with worship in the Word. All right? I want you to replace it with worship in the Word. That is why the writer says in Philippians 4, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is. He says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, he says, put that to practice. He says, and then the God of peace is going to be with you. And so it's vitally important that we understand that what we think determines how we feel. But sometimes what we think is based on some stuff that we're allowing to get on the inside of our hearts. Does that make sense? All right, y'all getting blessed? Okay, so we said there's three principles behind thinking. We said the first one was everything begins with a thought. Number two, what we think determines how we feel. And then number three, our thoughts determine our destiny. Our thoughts determine our destiny. Put that next screen up for me, just something for you to think about. If you want to take a picture of it, you can. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle, reap a destiny. And you see there clearly how your thoughts determine your destiny. And I don't have time to go through it, but you can just start to think about that, and it just makes sense. You got it? If you sow a thought, you're going to reap an action. If you sow an action, you're going to reap a habit. If you sow a habit, it becomes a way of life. And if you sow a life, then that's really what your destiny ultimately will become. And so the key is, if you don't like, watch this, if you don't like where you're going, how many know you need to change the way you're thinking? Life is choice driven. You are where you are because of the choices that you made in the past. So if you don't like where you are, there's no use in beating yourself up. There's no use in crying over spilled milk. Just start making better choices. And if you make better choices, it's going to put you in a better place, right? Romans, the 8th chapter and the 5th verse says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about what? Sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about, watch this, think about things that please the Spirit. And so how is that based on, Pastor? It's based on what's coming on, what's getting on the inside of you. It's based on the environment and the people that you're around. And that's why you got to be vitally, that's why you got to be careful, you know, of your environment, the people that are around you and things that go on the inside of you. So it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, watch this now, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Holy Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And so what happens is that so now the sinful nature, right, or the old man, as the case may be, you got it, wants you to do what you used to do. Right? You know, some of you ain't smoked in 20 years. You got it? And it's all of a sudden it'll be like that craving all of a sudden just jumps up. Because that's the sinful nature trying to get you to go back. Does that make sense? But the Bible says if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, you know better than that. And then what he'll do is he'll get that off your mind. You got it. Sometimes I like to call it a distraction. You got it. And put yourself, you know, and say, you need to go do this. Why do you need to do this? To distract yourself from that so you don't get caught up in those things. Does that make sense? And so, but how many know that the Holy Spirit, he is not going to strong arm you. He's not going to make you do anything. He said, I set before you life, I set before you death, I set before you blessings, I set before you cursing. If I was you, I would choose life, not only that you, but that you and your seed may live, because the choices that you make today not only determine what happens for you, but it affects other people around you. Does that make sense? All right, so let's go into the next component of my lesson, because I'm almost done. Everybody say he's almost done. All right, 4 ways to practice good thinking. 4 ways to practice good thinking. All right, number one, here we go. Find a plan to control my thoughts. Find a plan to control my thoughts. All right? Let me give you the best plan. There are a lot of plans to control your thoughts, but let me give you the absolute best plan to control your thoughts. It's so easy. The best way to control your thoughts is to read the Word of God. That is the absolute best way to control your thoughts, is to read the Word of God, all right? Now, 2 of y'all clapping. I can't have 2 clapping. Either everybody's going to clap or everybody's not going to clap. Y'all know I got issues, all right? No, Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is alive and active. It's what, class? It's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That is why the best way, you got it, the best way to find a plan to control your thoughts is to read the Word of God. Because as you begin to read the Word of God, and the more you read it, and the more you read it, Holy Spirit is there. He's encouraging you. He's comforting you, but he's also checking you. You got it? And say, you know, so as you read the Word, the Bible says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We talked on last week that my attitude determines my altitude. And so I've got to make sure I have a good attitude. How many know that if you'll consistently stay in the Word, you'll probably consistently have a good attitude to have right thoughts? Isn't that right? Okay, everybody say number 2. Find a place to, find a place to think my thoughts. So number 1, find a plan to control my thoughts. Number 2, find a place to think my thoughts. At some place in your day, you have to turn the world's volume down and have a daily conversation with God. At some place in your day. I personally like the morning. You understand? I like the morning. I like to get up before everybody else. I like to meditate. I like to pray. I listen to the word. You got it. I like to do that. Now, there are days when I have to get up and go another way. And so then, you know, I'll be playing the word, you know, all through the day in my car. So I'm not telling you that I do it like that every single day. I get it that, you know, life is life and schedules are schedules. But what I'm trying to say is at some point in the day, you have to turn the world's volume off and have a daily conversation with God. It's called prayer. And prayer is simply communication with God. So you don't have to do it the King James way. You got it? With the these and the thous, thou, Lord. No. God just wants you to talk to him. And he's okay with you just coming to God saying, God, I need your help. I need your help in this area, and I need your help in this area. And I know that your word says this, and it says that, and so I need you to help me in that, you know, because honestly, God, I'm really not doing my best in that area right now. So I need you to, I was talking to God about something recently, and I told him, I said, I need you to help my heart in that area. And it's okay for you to go to God and talk to him about those things. You got it? Prayer is communication with God, but it's also confrontation with the devil. You got it? And how many know you need to confront the devil sometimes? You got it? And so Isaiah 26:3 in the New Living Translation says, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you. How many trust in him? I hope everybody in the room. He says, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So if my thoughts are fixed on him, he's going to keep me in perfect peace. And that's the key, you know. And how many know it's so easy to get my thoughts fixed on other things? You got it. You know, we 30 minutes into the lesson. Well, 20 minutes into the lesson. You got it. And if she has that dress that you have on, you haven't heard a word I said, you are still thinking about her in that dress. I shouldn't have went to Belk. I don't never normally shop at Belk. I don't know why I went to Belk. I'm never shopping at Belk again. Number three. Everybody say number three. Find a person or people to stretch my thoughts. And the funny thing is you're laughing, but that's how it works with our minds. Because you'll kind of get distracted for a minute, watch this, and then you'll go right back to what it was. Does that make sense? All right, number three, find a person or people to stretch my thoughts. I need to connect with people who are grounded in the word, who love me, who will be honest with me, and who I can also have a blast with. Now I'll give it to you again. I need to be connected with people who are grounded in the word. I need to be around people of the word, all right? I need to be around people who love me. I need to be around people who will be honest with me, but I also need to be around people who I could have a blast with. And that's why I tell people the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. Being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory not in some areas, but in every area of your life. You got it. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us, watch this, not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I don't think sometimes we realize, but, you know, Jesus is coming back. You know, in I think it was in Florida, with the hurricane coming, the sky turned purple. And they could not understand because the weatherman said, no, this is not supposed to happen. You got it? And some people were like, Father, forgive me for all my sins. Wash me and cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb. Don't act like you didn't get it right with God when you saw that purple sky. How many know you should go to church? How many know you should go to church often? How many know you shouldn't just go to church, but you should connect with other people in the church? How many know when you get involved, it changes your life? You got it. A big church becomes small when you get involved, and that is why you have to get involved, because I don't know everybody, but I know you, and I know you, and I know you, and sometimes that's all you need. You just need that group that'll pray for you, that'll keep you encouraged, that'll check on you. You got it? And so it's so vitally important. And how many know that you should come to church often? You got it. Somebody asked me, what Sundays are y'all open? Every Sunday. Like, I was like, where did y'all get that from? Like, what Sunday? We're open every Sunday. You got it? No, we open every Sunday, all right? They kind of explained it to me. You got it? I said, oh, okay, well, we don't operate like that. We are a church, so we're open every Sunday. Because you need the word every Sunday. All the craziness you go through, you need the word. Every, all the stuff going out here in the society, you need the word every Sunday. Amen? All right. Oh, okay. So, our services are somewhere between 75 and 90 minutes. There are 10,080 minutes in a week. That's less than 1%. So all I'm asking you to do is just give God 1%. 1%. All right, praise the Lord. Because, you know, if you're like me, I like football. And if somebody gave me tickets to go see the Cowboys play, guess what I'm going to do? How early am I going to be? Real early. Game starts at 7, I'm going to be there at 1. I'm going to take me a tour. I'm going to tailgate. Come on, somebody. And then watch this. And between 1 and 7, is that 6 hours? Right. And you would think by 7 I'd be tired, right? I'm not going to be tired. I'm ready to see my boys play. Dak better throw that ball, and Zeke better run. And I'm going to run, Zeke, you better run. They paid for me to come. You better run, Zeke. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And so, and I would go from 7 to probably 10:30. And then after the game, 10:30 at night, walk into the car in those big, long parking lots that's 2 miles away from your car, I would be just as excited and just as happy. And I have just spent 12 hours doing that and excited about it. Surely I could be happy about coming to church for 75, 90 minutes. Let's play something so they know we're gone, Courtney. All right, last point. Everybody say last point. All right, get this one. Find a purpose to land my thoughts. Find a purpose to land my thoughts. What do you mean by that, Pastor? That doesn't make sense. I'm going to explain it to you. Find a purpose to land my thoughts. Purpose is so important because purpose is what helps guide your life. So the healthiest thought you can have are the thoughts about why you're on this planet. And the reason you're on this planet is to make a difference. You're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. When you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. So Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what's God's will, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so I find a purpose to land my thoughts. And the healthiest way to do that is to think about why I'm here. So, yeah, this world is crazy. I know this world's crazy. And people are crazy. And people go off for no reason, but I'm here to be a light in a dark world. And so I'm not going to join in with everybody. I'm not getting on social media. And if I'm a Republican, I'm going after Democrats. And if I'm a Democrat, I'm going after Republicans. And if I'm a no-crat, I'm going after all of them because all of them are crazy. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get on Facebook and talk about how mad I was about my boss because my boss can do this, this, and this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fuss with anybody. I'm going to love everybody. There are times that you type, and right before you hit post, Holy Spirit says, don't post that. You post it anyways. Not realizing that every time you do that, somebody that was looking up to you read that and was like, oh, I didn't know that person was like that. Because you don't realize people are looking at you. And you got to understand there's somebody counting on you. There's somebody looking up to you. And they thought, okay, yeah, because that person goes to church, seems like a really nice person. But until you put your opinion on, so, well, it's my page, I can put what out. You're right. Show, you're right. But you don't understand is you lose influence. So would I rather have a page where I can put anything I want on there? Would I rather have a page where I can only put what Holy Spirit allows me to put on so I can influence people's life in an amazing way because I might be the only light that someone needs to know, so I have to be a light that shines bright. Does that make sense? When you look at our church makes a difference all the time. I mean, we just always make a difference. When the hurricane came, we had already come up with a plan of what we were going to do. Operation Blessing, and thank God that they came. They're heading to Florida now, of course, because there's devastation there, but thank God that they came. But before they even called me, we had already posted a plan on Facebook. I had already told y'all we're going to feed people. Now, thank God they came because they were a blessing to us. But we already had, amen. But we had a plan in place. You got it. Our missions team went to Jamaica, impacted people's lives in an amazing way. Spent thousands of dollars of their own money to go. Why? They wanted to make a difference. Even though we've gone through everything that we've just gone through, we're about to give away 500 turkey dinners. Not just the turkey, but all the sides. And when people come, you know how we do. We're loving up on people. We're smiling. We're saying, hey, we're not acting like there's somebody who's less than we are. No, 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 it don't even work like that. Because most of us used to be in those lines at some point in our lives. I remember being in line getting the big block butter and the big block cheese and the milk in the box, talking about just add water. So whether it's the hurricane relief, whether it's our missions efforts, whether it's Operation Giving Thanks, or whether it's just us making the best of every day and encouraging somebody and making a difference in everybody's life, all those things I just talked about, what is the common denominator in all of those things? And I'll tell you what it is, we were intentional. And that's what, you have to live your life in an intentional way where you really want to make a difference. Last scripture, then we'll pray, Matthew 5 and 13. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? That's why I tell you, quit posting dumb stuff. Oh, not dumb. Quit posting crazy stuff. I had to catch myself. I was right the first time. No. Because watch this. Because when you do that, they don't taste godliness. The Bible says when you do that, you've lost your youthfulness. And you'll end up in the garbage. He said, here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I put you there, on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And that's the key, man. I have to learn to keep open house. I have to learn to be willing to make a difference. I have to be willing to give my life away. Benny and I were out yesterday, and we were visiting some members, and we were doing some things, and by the time we were on our way home, now we left early in the day, you got it, by the time we went home, I looked, Ben was driving, I said, Ben, it's 5:09, man, like, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, it was a wonderful Saturday, you know, but it's like our day is gone, but now I wasn't complaining, he'll tell you, I was just saying, man, look how the day is gone, but it was worth everything that we did. Because we went and talked with some people, we went and loved up on some people, we went and encouraged some people, we went and prayed for some people. And watch this. What you have to understand is, man, even though I thought that day was going to be my first Saturday in months of not doing anything, and brother man is about to watch some college football all day long. I don't care who's playing, I don't care what the team is, I don't care how bad they're losing, I'm just going to watch football. But God was, watch this, more happy with me going out and making a difference. Not that he cares about football. Y'all know that, right? You got it. But that was first on his mind. And I think that we have to make sure that we do things that are first on God's mind. And then after we get done with what God wants to do, he'll make sure we have time to do things that we need to do, which is back to the title of this lesson, I Have to Learn in Everything to Be Mindful. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Heads are bowed.